بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم باب ما جاء في تختم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم باب ما جاء في تختم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم So this is a chapter that's coming on the wearing of the ring. So one thing is to have a ring, but then the other thing is how do you wear the ring? So the Sahaba are going into some detail here. How did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to wear his ring? The first hadith, عن علي بن أبي طالب عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يلبس خاتمه في يمينه. So this hadith says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to wear his ring when he would wear it on his right hand. Now before we actually go into this discussion, you should know that there is ikhtilaf among the ulama as to which hand the Prophet ﷺ actually wore his ring on. Okay, so some ulama say that the Prophet ﷺ wore it on his right hand. And other ulama say it's better to wear it on your left hand. And actually, hadith exists for both. But the muhaddithin, they preferred the right hand. And the ahnaf, the ulama of the Hanafi madhab, say that both are equal. In fact, Imam Shafi'i also says this, that both the left and the right hand are equal in wearing of the ring. Mulla Ali Qari, who is a famous muhaddith and also one of the famous Hanafi scholars, said of you supporting the right. So actually, there's support for both. But what you, Hafiz ibn Hajar actually says that if the ring is worn for beauty, then it should be worn on the right hand, and if it's worn as a stamp, then it should be worn on the left hand. That's his view, based on his analysis of hadith. And the reason is because there's a hadith that says that beauty and elegance is more appropriate for the right hand. So that's why Hafiz ibn Hajar gave preference to the right hand. So what you're going to see now is Imam Tirmidhi was in support of the right hand. He's one of the muhaddithin. And so many of the hadith he'll bring here will actually be of the right hand. The more of the right hand, I think there's one at the end of the left hand. So this first hadith establishes that the Prophet wore his ring on his right hand. An Hammad ibn Salama qal ra'aytu ibn Abi Rafi' yatakhattamu fi yamini fa sa'altuhu an dhalik. So this particular narrator, Hammad, he says that I saw ibn Abi Rafi', he used to wear his ring on his right hand. So I asked him about that. Fa qala ra'aytu Abdullah ibn Ja'far yatakhattamu fi yamini. So he says, well, I did it because I saw Abdullah ibn Ja'far doing it, wearing it on his right hand. فَقَالَ عَبْدُ ibn Ja'far. And Abdullah ibn Ja'far said, I did it, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَخَتِّمُ فِي يَمِينِهِ, because the Prophet ﷺ did it and wore it on his right hand. This hadith is so beautiful, because what does it establish? It establishes the necessity of following the footsteps of the people before you. Why? Because when he's asked about this, when the first narrator's asked, why do you wear your ring in the right hand? He doesn't say, because I have a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ did it. The Prophet ﷺ did it, so that's why. He says, no, I did it because I saw so-and-so doing it. Then you go to so-and-so. What does he say? He doesn't say, the Prophet ﷺ did it. He says, I did it because I saw so-and-so doing it. And so-and-so did it because he saw the Prophet ﷺ did it. Establishment of a chain. The chain is so important in our knowledge. That's why we don't just pick up books of hadith and bypass the whole chain and start to understand and explicate ourselves. We follow a chain. Now, that's this whole system of ijazas. And I don't know, I mean, I'm sure many people have heard about this system of ijazah, but in everything within, and the majority of the types of knowledges within the within our tradition are all based on ijazah, permission, authorization. So what happens when somebody becomes a hafiz, or they do tahfiz, they memorize the Qur'an, you go to a sheikh, you recite that Qur'an before that sheikh, and the sheikh gives you authorization to go and teach for other people, that you've completed your work. That sheikh recited before his sheikh. His sheikh recited before his sheikh. His sheikh recited before his sheikh. His sheikh recited before some tabi'i. That tabi'i recited before some sahabi. That sahabi recited, probably heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard from the angel Jibreel. The angel Jibreel heard from Allah. So somebody who gets a sanad in the memorization of the Qur'an connects not only back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but to Jibreel and then to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the beauty of that particular sanad. Because Allah gave the Qur'an to Jibreel alayhi salam, Jibreel to the heart of the Prophet alayhi salam, the Prophet alayhi salam to the companion to the tabi'in, the tabi'in to the taba tabi'in, إلى آخره until our زمان, until our time. Similarly in hadith, when we study hadith, it's all based on ijazah. I studied from a teacher who studied from a teacher, who studied from his teacher, who studied from his teacher, who goes all the way back to this chain, who then takes you back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly in tasawwuf, people get ijazahs from their mashayikh. They study with their shaykh for a particular period of time. That shaykh studied with such and such, who studied with such and such, who studied with so and so, who goes all the way back to either Ali or Abu Bakr, which the four major branches of tasawwuf go through, back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is our tradition. It's based on simsala, connectivity of a chain from one person to the next. And that's why we seek traditional sources of knowledge. And that's exactly the response in this particular hadith. I did it because so-and-so. So-and-so did it because so-and-so. So-and-so did it because the Prophet ﷺ did it. An Abdullah ibn Ja'far. Annahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yataqattamu fi yamini. That the Prophet ﷺ used to wear his ring on his right. Now notice that Imam Tirmidhi is bringing everything about the right. An Ja'far ibn Abdullah. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتختم في يمينه. Again, the right. عن سلط ابن عبد الله قال كان ابن عباس يتختم في يمينه ولا إخاله إلا قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتختم في يمينه. This particular narrator says that he saw that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma used to wear his ring on his right hand. And I can't remember except that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wear it on his right hand. Meaning that's what Ibn Abbas used to say. An-Nafir, an Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ittakhala khatiman min fiddatin waja'ala fassahu mimma yali kaffay. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made a ring from silver, and he made the fuss of the ring, the head of the ring, that such that it would sit in his palm. وَنَقَشَ فِيهِ Muhammad, Rasul, Allah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had engraved on it, Muhammad, and Rasul, and Allah. وَنَهَا أَن يَنْكُشَ أَحَدٌ عَلَيْهِ And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to everybody, none of you is allowed to engrave a ring similar to this. وَهُوَ الَّذِي سَقَطَ مِنْ مُؤَقِبٍ هُوَ الَّذِي سَقَطَ مِنْ مُؤَيْقِبٍ فِي بِئْرِ أَرِيسٍ مُؤَيْقِب رضي الله عنه was the name of the companion who used to hold the ring for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now, why did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prohibit the companions from making the same engraving upon their rings? Because if he didn't, they would have followed him footstep by footstep. And it wasn't appropriate for them to have a ring with the same naqash. But it highlights, the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba were such tabi' of the Prophet ﷺ that he had to prohibit them from copying him to that extent. So that highlights an aspect of the following or the ittiba' of the Prophet ﷺ by the Sahaba. Again, and then this is the name of the particular companion, Mu'ayqib, radiallahu anhu, who was the sahib of the ring, who was responsible for holding the ring all the way until the time of Uthman. 6 years Uthman, radiallahu anhu, had the ring in his possession, and then it got lost in the sixth year. An Ja'far ibn Muhammad, an Abihi, qal, kana Hassan wa Hussein, yataqattamani fi yasarihima. Here, the first time, Imam Tirmidhi brings a hadith in which the left hand is discussed. That Hassan and Hussein, the grandsons of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to wear their ring in the right hand. All the previous hadiths supported the right, and this is probably a way of Imam Tirmidhi showing his madhab that the right is stronger, according to him, but that both are okay. And Anas ibn Malik. أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتختم في يمينه. Again, back to the right. That the Prophet used to wear his ring on his right. And Ibn Umar قال اتخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خاتما من ذهب. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made a ring from gold once. So this is from Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made a ring from gold. Now, according to the ulama, this is before the harma of gold. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made gold haram. فَكَانَ يَلْبَسُهُ فِي يَمِينِهِ So he used to wear it on his right hand. فَاتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ خَوَاتِيمٍ مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ So all the Sahaba started doing the exact same thing. They saw the Prophet ﷺ with a gold ring, they have to follow in his footsteps. So they start making gold rings as well. فَطَرَحَهُ So the Prophet ﷺ got rid of it. He got rid of the ring. فَقَالَ لَا أَلْبِسُ أَبَدًا And he said, I will never wear this again. فَطَرَحَ النَّاسُ خَوَاتِمِهِمْ So all the people got rid of their rings as well. Ittibai sunnah, back and forth. The Prophet ﷺ makes a ring, they make it. The Prophet ﷺ gets rid of the ring, they take it off. This was the following of the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ.